Hi, Des James. Come on through. We just grab a coffee before we start. I'm sure Doreen will be along to speak to you later.
Deep Cut, written by Philip Ralph and adapted by him from his play of the same name, taken from verbatim transcripts, journalism and publicly available documents.
Right. Doreen and I were married in 71. Probably around, I guess, 77 or 78, we finally accepted the fact that we weren't going to have any kids of our own. And in those days, you actually went to the local church, the local vicar and the Church of England did all that stuff, and it was different, you know, and we had visits from social workers and you're sort of being vetted, you know, which was fine. I mean, I got a good job and Doreen, my wife, is a nurse, you know, there was no real issues there.
Sorry, excuse me. This keeps ringing, Des, your phone.
Who is it?
I don't know, I haven't answered it.
Who is it? Sorry.
It keeps ringing.
Right, no problem. Oh, there's not much point here. The reception's awful. So anyway, sorry, I've lost it just now. I think when we... No, I've lost it.
Oh, sorry, it's me, isn't it? Fussing about. I'll go now.
What was I going to say? Yeah, that's right. Eventually, we got Cheryl and a natural brother in January 79. And, I mean, the excitement when we brought the two of them home. Everything was fine, you know? Everything was fine.
One of the reasons I'm a journalist is because of Watergate. When the scandal broke and the burglars were arrested and the first connections were made with the White House, the Justice Department initiated an investigation. The Attorney General went on television and said, "This has been one of the most exhaustive investigations ever undertaken by the department, and I can tell you that there was no connection with the White House."
When the Deep Cut story first started, most people in the press, certainly in the serious press, like Mr. Cathcart, knew far more about it than I did. And then it's very strange because you go past that point. And in fact, even today, I have reporters talking to me who don't know anything. And that's quite frustrating because you really have to understand what's gone on, otherwise you won't understand the implication of what's going on currently.
I welcome you all to this event marking the publication of my report. I'm sorry, there's so much to absorb in such a short space of time. A single headline cannot do justice to four separate events occurring between June 1995 and March 2002. In order to review the circumstances surrounding the deaths and the Army's response to them, it was first necessary to see if any conclusions could be reached on how each trainee died.
On the 29th of March 2006, Nicholas Blake, QC, a respected human rights lawyer, published his review into the circumstances surrounding the deaths of four soldiers at Deep Cut.
Cheryl James died on lone guard duty. She had personal problems in her private life to resolve. There is an absence of any reason why this popular young woman would be the subject of attack, and a complete absence of any evidence of any sort undermining the more probable hypothesis of self-harm.
I think you have to be careful, you know. I think that when you lose anyone, there is a danger. Well, not a danger, but there's always an element that when you tell people about that person, you embellish it a little. Not intentionally, but you do. You forget about all the bad bits and you sort of, you know, you just put a halo on them. And I'm very wary about that, but I mean, she was just a joy. You know, I can't tell you. Sorry. Sorry. No, she was a joy. That's all I can tell you. She was always highly competitive. Always a joker. Tomboy. There was a devilment, a mischiefness. This person who giggles was loud, smiling, laughing, joking.
At one point, it was thought that independent scientific expertise might point away from a conclusion of self-inflicted death, but Mr. Frank Swan declined to make his opinions available to the review.